The Roundtable is where the newsmakers come to talk. Weekday afternoons at 5:45 on The Rush with Ryan and Jay. In-depth radio. News Talk 1010.
Ryan Doyle, Jay Michaels here on The Rush. It is time for our Roundtable. Lots to talk about, most of it focusing on the events of yesterday, the tragedy that unfolded yesterday afternoon between Young and Finch and Young and Shepherd. We are joined by Christy Blatchford of the National Post. Amanda Galbraith is here. Bill Hayes, great to have you all.
Nice to be here.
Thank you.
Let's start off with one call to the Jim Richards Show. He had a lot of interesting takes, I suppose, or at least angles presented by listeners. And, you know, some of them rightly, some of them wrongly, but it's a good opportunity to discuss what's on the top of people's minds, including two callers, both named Lawrence, surprised that yesterday the Toronto Maple Leafs game wasn't canceled as a result of what happened. Have a listen to what they had to say.
After the immediately after the worst terrorist event in the country's history, probably the city's for sure, you hold a hockey game?
All right.
Cancel the game, man. Cancel the game. People were murdered in a terrorist event. No one knows exactly what happened. All these details seem to be coming out. No one knows what's behind this. You hold a hockey game, you have 20-something thousand people rooted. Forget it. Kill it, man. This is the most horrible thing to happen in this city.
I'm the biggest Leaf fan there is, and I really can't fathom how you can still go on and play a game like this. This is, as your network has been saying, one of the worst disasters that have ever happened in this city, and it only happened at 1:30 in the afternoon. How could you still have life as normal?
Christy, it's an interesting question, and we did look it up in the wake of the Boston Marathon bombing. They canceled both the Celtics and the Boston Red Sox game. Now, that said, they were still looking for people. They didn't have a good handle on the situation. This, of course, was a little bit different. What are your thoughts and feelings on what you've just heard?
That it's absolutely the right thing to carry on with the hockey game or whatever else might have been scheduled, I'm afraid. Life goes on. It has to. And if you want to demonstrate collectively that you're not going to be cowed by these sorts of attacks, then you have to keep going to the places where you go. And they marked the event at the game. It didn't go unnoticed. People, I think, felt it very much. But you don't alter your life because something like this has happened.
Amanda?
I completely agree with Christy. I mean, I actually think the biggest stance you can take in these situations is to actually like face this kind of assault or terror on the city and say, no, I'm going to keep doing my life. I'm going to take the subway. I'm going to keep walking down that street. I'm going to go to that game, because what we can't do is allow these kinds of events to change the way we live our lives. We live in one of the safest cities in the world. We should be incredibly proud of that. I mean, I love living here. And I think it was important that all those people went to that game. I think it was important that we marked that. And I think it was important that it proceeded.
Bill?
Yeah, the only thing I would add, and I agree with both Amanda and Christy on that. The only thing I would add is that at that time, if you go back to when the event occurred, no one was really sure whether this was terrorism as we've normally defined it, or as it was appears to be in this incident, something that's solo on its own. Mm-hmm. The police did, in fact, make sure that there was a lot more security around the ACC.
Yep.
And that's an important part of this that I think is getting forgotten in this argument. They were aware that perhaps something else would happen. And I heard someone suggest that they let their kid go. I think it was Mark Mandelson this morning on the roundtable with John Moore, saying his son went. And he was happy to see him go because of that same reason. You have to keep going, keep doing what you do, or else they win.
I walked a long stretch of the Danforth last night going to meet friends and family, and every single bar and every single restaurant had the doors open and had the game on. And after the day that I think a lot of people had yesterday, they kind of needed to watch that hockey game. I know, frankly, I needed it, and I really enjoyed being able to just stop and peek in the doors a couple of times as I was making my way to where I was going and seeing the game being on.
People also need to be together.
Yes,
and you don't have to be together at a makeshift memorial with teddy bears and balloons. You can be together at a sporting event. That's the thing. You need the company of other people. even if you don't talk about it.
Let's talk a little bit about the makeshift memorial. Jay and I had an opportunity to visit the Young and Finch area today. Very moving stuff to see everybody sort of standing shoulder to shoulder. Many people writing messages of condolence in multiple languages on these pieces of Bristol board that were taped to the concrete. Up on a hill, there were multiple flowers placed. People kept coming by from a local flower shop, actually, that was giving out flowers for free to go down and put them on the hill in front of this memorial. Here are some of the people who were gathered today expressing their reasons for being there.
So we just really wanted to come and support and remind people that it's, you know, Toronto is a really big place, but we still ultimately need to come together as a community.
We all feel like it could have been us. Like, we all feel like we dodged a bullet.
It could be anyone of this neighborhood. It could be me, it could be my husband, it could be anyone.
Christy, it's really interesting when you're inside of something like this. We've often observed this kind of thing, this outpouring of grief and emotion from people who didn't know the victims. And you know, I've been guilty of sitting in judgment and saying, well, come on, you're far removed from it. What would compel you? And there we were. We were standing there today, and I was certainly caught up in the silence, the deafening silence in that area, and the looks on people's faces. So, it's made me rethink some of my words from the past, to be sure.
Well, I think it's a natural thing. It's part of that wanting to be with other people that I just spoke about. It's wanting to do something. You know, people feel a need to take control of what their lives are about. And this is a small way of doing it. You go there, you bring a memento of respect, you bend your head a bit, and you pause in your busy day just to remember what could have happened. And for an awful lot of the people who came, it sounds like, and I imagine, it was quite personal. They, you know, it is a big city, but it's, as we always say, it's a big city of small neighborhoods. This is a neighborhood, and I think it's nice that people came. What I find, and I think what you and I have talked about in the mm-hmm. past is a bit jarring, is when, you know, people from another country or across our country are crying on the phone. Enough already.
Yeah, and there is that line there, Amanda, right? Where, you know, we don't have to set up, we don't want people in London, England setting up vigils for us. Having one in our own community does have that that cathartic feeling to it.
Yeah, I think people grieve and deal with these scenarios in their own way. I actually remember going with the Orlando shooting that happened at Pulse nightclub. I ended up going to the vigil in the village, and I found that quite moving, mostly because a lot of my friends are from the LGBTQ community, and that was something that was important to me to go and remember. So I do think, and particularly to Christy's point about small communities, is we are really a neighborhood. Like, I live in Leslieville. It's very, like, I know my neighbors, you know, we borrow cups of sugar from one another. It feels very personal to me. So I can't imagine if that was the sidewalk I walked on every day, how just stressful and jarring that would be. So it's great that the city goes around to one another, and we hug each other, and we have a moment. And I think we need to, you know, put our shoes on, get up, and go to work tomorrow morning, and continue to live in this great city that we live in today.
Yeah, I think the other thing that's interesting too is that we all look at it a little differently as a part of our community. There was one lady in that clip; it could have been her. I've been up there. I've walked that area. I know exactly, and it could have been, seriously, anybody. And that's another thing that's kind of jarring to all of us. And I think the other thing, Amanda and I were talking a little bit about this before we came in. I'm kind of surprised it's been this long before we've had something like this here. I don't say that flippantly. This is a city that is tremendously multicultural, more than any other in the world. And not that this had anything to do with nationalities or anything along those lines. But you always have to be aware that something could happen, and now that it has, I think it's something that amazingly has brought us even closer together.
I think if we haven't already adopted Christy's slogan of big city of small neighborhoods, we probably should start thinking about that, because that's the best description of this city that I've probably ever heard. I also think that when we were in that area today, at Young and Finch today, we not only witnessed people that had come from all over the city, Ryan, but we then saw moms and dads that were pushing, you know, double bugaboo strollers, making mm-hmm. their way through, just living their life. And for me, that's the best case of, like, this is just anybody's neighborhood in this city that you could possibly think of.
We've spent a good deal of this hour talking a little bit about the motive, or at least what police were talking about, this Facebook post that the accused posted shortly before the van attack, suggesting that this may have been sparked by frustration or anger over unsuccessful attempts to attract a female companion. This idea of celibacy where it's involuntary, Christy? Or, I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but if it's something that led somebody to do this, we have to sit up and take it somewhat seriously.
Sure, I agree. I'd never heard of this before, and if it, I grant you, these are not the circumstances probably to be in any way treating it lightly, but the involuntarily celibate sounds like I have finally found my people, you know, if I may say. So, that aside, they sound like a very weird collection of people. I'm not sure that that will turn out in the end to be this fellow's motive. I'm not sure he had one. Perhaps he had mental illness. Perhaps he had something else. I mean, we're a long way from knowing very much about why he did this.
Amanda?
And, you know, one thing that really struck me today, sorry if I may, was...
That's okay.
There was a fellow at his court appearance who people, the reporters think is his dad. He was sitting in the front seat weeping. And spare a moment for that poor man, because there is no way on God's green earth a parent could know that a child is going to do something like this. And imagine the horror he feels. A
lot of shock on that man's face, to be sure, today.
Yeah, I saw the video of him kind of struggling to get through the crowd. And he looked like it was, I mean, all parts of this is sad, but that particularly, I think, struck me. That and the police officers trying to walk slowly to clear the debris on the road, I found was very kind of jarring. I also had never heard of these kinds of people and this sort of term. And I think we're probably about to dive real deep into that whole subculture, and maybe rightfully so if they're motivating people to this kind of work. But regardless, I think, you know, hatred of one another to the degree or level that motivated this individual is, you know, not the kind of city that we are and what we want to be. And, you know, I hope, you know, we all hug our loved one tonight and say a prayer and thank you and, you know, move forward.
You're here.
Amanda Galbraith, Bill Hayes, Christy Blatchford, thank you all.